Hello, this podcast is for today's class for Section 3B of torts, and it was our first week class where we had a little bit of orientation, and then we talked about the first reading assignment. Be sure that you get your Westlaw numbers and sign on to TWAN. If you have any trouble signing on to TWAN, ask the people at the reference librarian at the circulation desk or call them on the phone, and they know you'll be using TWAN, and they know that they know your passwords, and they can help you. If you have trouble signing on to TWAN, don't email me, because I will not be able to help you. The reference librarians or the administrator for the course, Ms. Farina Grumpa, you can email her, but the first call is ask the people in the library, and they're experts in this and can help you. So you should go over the slides that we use today, because they're helpful information about the course in the future. They'll be good for you to save. And then there are the slides for Monday's class and Wednesday's class. Again, stay 30 pages ahead in the reading, and you'll always be covered. We're going to go pretty slowly at first, so we may only do a couple of cases each class. So the slides are where I anticipate we're going to cover, but you know, we might do a little better or a little worse. This is I'm only going to go as fast as I feel is necessary for us to all stay in the same place in terms of class understanding. So, you know, I hope you use them as an aid in your class preparation. Remember, all we talked about today was just setting the stage for a discussion of negligence, the concept of a fault-based liability. And our Hammondry v. Janner really laid it out. We have a choice in liability systems. Strict liability means you're always going to be liable. Negligence means liable only if you're at fault. They're all, you know, conclusions, but negligence has many elements to show before fault can be determined. And our class is going to go through all of the elements that you have to show. So negligence is a very high threshold. Strict liability, no threshold at all. If you were the one who committed the accident, caused the injury, you're going to be strictly liable. So causation certainly is something to be proved. But after that, you don't have to show fault or anything. You just have to show basic causation. Why would we have strict liability? Well, in certain situations, as in product manufacturing, the court has determined that it's economically feasible for the manufacturer of a product to spread their losses. How do they spread the losses? By raising the rates of their product. But for other things, such as activities not related to manufacturing or daily activities, the courts have determined that negligence is the standard that we currently will operate under. It hasn't always been that way, and we'll talk about that. The early cases for injury definitely had a strict liability tone, but after the Industrial Revolution, because of everything that Posner and Holmes was saying, negligence was thought to be the better way to allow America to grow and develop. So negligence implies growth, activity, development. Strict liability is just a way to compensate. So in our case here that we talked about, originally our plaintiff, Hammondtree, wanted to sue under negligence, but it quickly became apparent. And how does it become apparent? They did discovery, which means that each side finds out the facts of the case on an equal basis. They did their discovery, and they found that basically our plaintiff was not going to be negligent. So they asked for a jury instruction that was more on the basis of strict liability. That is, if you're driving, you become unconscious, you're going to be liable for the injuries you cause, regardless of any precautions that you might have taken to reduce the risk. So what we learned from the case is that negligence depends on an acceptable level of risk. You can't eliminate all risk. You end up staying home and pulling the covers over your head. There was a risk that he could pass out, but negligence assumes an acceptable level of risk. We're going to be talking about how do you set that level. If you meet the level of risk, an acceptable level of risk, you're not at fault. You're not considered faulty. Even though you may have caused an injury, you're not at fault. You didn't violate that acceptable level of risk. So our early cases are all going to focus on what's an acceptable level of risk, what's a reasonable level of risk. Because risk, you can't eliminate all risks. That means, again, you stay at home. We're always, anytime we do any action, there's always a risk to it. Strict liability doesn't focus on risk. It focuses on accidents. That is, if you did it, you caused it, you pay for it. Negligence focuses on the acceptable level of risk. If you exceed that acceptable level, you're at fault, you pay for it. All that we're talking about now is under what circumstances does someone who causes a loss or an injury, any kind of a loss, when is that person responsible for it? When is their liability? So the next couple of cases that we're going to read, before we get into talking about a reasonable level of risk, talk about circumstances where you're responsible for the negligence of another party. Under certain circumstances, even though you didn't do anything, you're going to be responsible for the negligence of another party. When are those circumstances and how are they determined? And that's going to be the topic for the next class.